of cream, red roses too. I see them blue.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, editor and publisher of GlobalBusinessNews.net, and your host today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from Seattle area as well as downtown San Diego. Our special guest is Mr. Ali Shami, and he is in the Seattle region. His occupation is with Boeing Commercial Aviation Services. He's a manager in services and support technology and product development. Let's welcome Mr. Ali Shami.
Hi, Ed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for being our guest on Global Radio Talk Show. So I want to get right into this. What's it like working for a major manufacturing company like Boeing?
It is great. I've been with the company for over 20 years. I had leadership assignments and roles in various organizations, from operations to engineering, customer service, field service, sales and marketing, system bill integration. So I've had quite a few opportunities to work in various organizations at the company, mostly working with customers.
Now, let's drill down a little bit and tell us exactly what parts of Boeing you are working in and what the product is that you're focusing in on now.
First of all, I mean, you know, part of the products, they are typically into two parts. The first one is the products that we produce to help our company, and also the other part, which we support our customers. So all the services and the support that we provide our customers to keep their airplanes flying and making money.
Okay, so for such a large major manufacturing company like Boeing, you're probably bombarded with information that calls for action. What decision criteria do you use to be effective at what you do every day? Must be difficult.
Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of years ago, one of my colleagues asked me, "What is a good day for you, Ali?" I froze. I did not have one single reason to share with him. There were just too many. So I replied by saying, "Day for me. Where do you want me to start?" So that was my answer. I really felt like a mosquito at a beach. Too much flesh and not enough time to bite at all. At that time, I went home and kept on thinking about it. And I keep on thinking about that question, you know, every day. Every day I wake up and say, okay, what is it? How can I make this day a great day?
I'm sure you think about this a lot. What did you conclude?
The more I reflected on the question, the more I became convinced that, to me, a great day is a day when I do the right things right. A good day is a day when I do the right things wrong. A bad day is when I do the wrong things right. And finally, a terrible, terrible day is when I do the wrong things wrong. And sometimes, you know, not doing something is doing the right thing.
What about an awesome day? I mean, let's say fireworks. Let's hear what makes an awesome day for Ali.
An awesome day is do more of the right things right. I realize it's not just doing things, but just the more I do the right things and make sure that I'm convinced, hey, this is really what I need to do, and I do it right, and the more I do of that, the better it is. I have a great day when I feel I made someone's day better. But when I put a smile on someone's face or made someone realize their unlimited potential, everything we do, I believe, Ed, is in pursuit of happiness. Avoiding pain is also a pursuit of happiness.
So in your business, dealing with a major product, my God, with a lot of moving parts, you have a lot of customer service issues, I would imagine.
Yeah, sure. It's amazing how we create our world with our thoughts, and we shape it with our feelings, and how we sometimes focus only on the near-term success. You asked about a business example. I mean, for example, take project management. It is a given that a team leader succeeds when he or she completes the project on time, great quality, and also within budget. It is believed that doing so is doing the right things right. That makes it a great day, right? Maybe a better metric for success, in my perspective, is seeing how many of the team members are eager to gather again under the same leader. I think that's a better metric. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, now these skills are useful internationally, but internationally you have a lot of cross-cultural issues. So working globally requires special skills. What are your recommendations for new people who who want to be leaders entering the global business market, because it takes growing a global mindset and understanding of people who are very, very different from yourself. So give us some insight.
Great question. I remember during my first international assignment in South Korea how crucial it was to have the proper soft skill in a deep understanding of the customer's cultures. And that's both the culture of the company and the nation. Now, no one disagrees that understanding the country's legal system, economy, needs, and wants is important. Also, understanding your product and services is equally important. However, I believe a great global leader is one who is genuinely interested in their history. Customers do not care about your products and services until they know you care about them.
So I have to stop for a second here and ask you to go back to that interesting statement, which is not a throwaway line. This could be a bumper sticker or a T-shirt slogan. Customers do not care about your products and services until they know you care about them. Is that right?
Exactly. So when we're selling products and services, we're really selling parts of ourselves. How we care. Do they see it in our eyes that we care about customers? And that is really, to me, is like, for example, is my first long-term experience with international customers was with Italians. I realized that connecting with the customers required understanding of their culture, identifying their business concerns, finding out what success looks like for them. And this is, for me to do that, I really have genuine interest in understanding them and care for them.
Does this mean you enjoyed more cappuccino or red wine?
Both. Both. And also, what does my customer enjoy? And if for some reason it's not something I care about, you know what? I want to experiment and just see, okay, maybe let me look at it from my customer's point of view.
So when you were in the U.S., did you read up on all this? How long ago was that?
I would say maybe 15 to 20 years ago.
Okay.
Once I knew that my customers are mostly with the Italian customers and Italian airlines, right away I started studying Italian. I read the Italian newspapers that were written in English at the beginning and then transitioned to reading their local newspapers. I subscribed also to Rai Uno. This is the famous Italian TV station. And doing so gave me an opportunity to really understand their concerns, what the country is going through, what the airlines is going through. So their concerns became mine, and their daily national events became mine. So the next time I went, I talked with them. I tell them about the last 2 days, this is what happened, how are you guys? I hope this event that happened is far away from where you live. They were really impressed. Learning about what the culture, what the country is going through, provided me a great advantage over the competition, even though I was thousands of miles away from home. So my advice for new leaders to genuinely love their customers, so their customers love them, and hopefully become their loyal customers at one point. If a leader, in my perspective, Ed, if a leader does not develop that type of relationship, then it is better to do himself or herself and their company a favor and let someone else do that instead. This is how I truly believe.
We have a busy world out there, a lot of competition. So given what's going on in the world today, what should companies do to successfully compete in the global marketplace?
I believe the most important thing companies can do to succeed in the global market is knowing how to get to the hearts and minds of their international customers. Like I said earlier, the technical aspects of the business are no doubt critical. But with the fierce battles with competitors, having loyal customers is more important than having satisfied ones. That is only achieved with complementing the hard skills with the soft skills that we know are much harder to master.
The soft skills are what? Caring about people, right? Showing it?
Exactly.
Right, you have to be sincere.
You definitely have to be sincere. You have to speak. You have to listen, not with your ears, but with your heart. Full understand it. And customers understand it like all human beings. We know when someone is just saying things or really communicating with their hearts.
What do you recommend companies do to make sure that, say, 80% of the energy is applied properly and not wasted?
How many company leaders really visit their international customers and have to worry about visas, relocation, and their arrangements and all of that? It is a shame for companies to send leaders overseas and, like you said, exhaust 80% of their energy on dealing with the non-business related activities. And that's leaving, that's, you know, 20% of their energy to build good rapport with their customers. Do you agree that, you know, to many cultures, decisions are not made in the conference room? It is before the meeting and after the meeting where the real decisions are. Great advice that one of my mentors told me once. He said, you do not sell products to your customers when they have money in their suitcases. It is when it's empty. That's when the selling process really starts.
So that means being comfortable in your own self in order to deal, success, not even deal, but to relate to people who are from a different culture, a different time zone. It's so difficult to win trust. It takes a long time. And really, it has to be done in person, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So that means that companies have to spend more time in going out for a walk with their counterparts, not just sit and have a coffee and stare at each other, but go out and look at life and in the streets, or go for a walk down the hall and talk about what's going on, not just sell, sell, sell.
Exactly. So, for example, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, with meetings, it's not what's in the meeting during the meeting, but it's before and after. So if I have a meeting with a customer on a Monday at 10 o'clock, I'll go over the weekend. I'll go on Saturday. I go look at the area. I read the newspaper. I see what's going on with my customers. And if that is possible, that I meet with them ahead of time and listen. And most of the time, they want to talk about their company. They want to talk about their country, about the great things that they're doing. And I let that, and I listen to it. I mean, so that's really building up. That means I'm sending, when I do that, I send a strong message saying, I'm interested in you. It's not the business. I'm here in business. Yes, we're here to do business, but I'm interested in building a relationship and understanding you and be friends forever. Why not?
So let's broaden this conversation a little bit and talk about the idea of giving back. In other words, making an impact in a positive way on life, on humanity, but still within the business world and the business customer relationship. What do you do? How do you help younger people think about giving back to leave a positive vibe, or, you know, create a legend in your own time, but not,
yeah,
not about yourself, but about help somebody do something that they need a leg up on, or some way of looking at things a little differently from how they are looking at it?
So the first thing, I believe, we won't be able to help others if we don't help our thing you do not have. We really need to look internally, inside of ourselves, and decide, saying, you know, I got to do something. I got to leave a legend. I was dropped on this earth for a reason, and there's a purpose for me. And look out and just see what's out there and have that determination, saying, I'm coming to this life. I'm just not going to leave without leaving a legend. Like Horace Mann said once, he said, we should be ashamed to die without making a significant contribution to humanity. So what I tell myself every day, I wake up and I start my day with thank you. I say thank you as much as I can to remember the good things that happened in my life. You do not say thank you to someone who hurts you, right? You thank people and the universe for great things that was brought to your life. I try to trick my mind by drawing the positive things in my life. You know, it's very difficult to think about negative things when you're saying thank you over and over. That's exactly what made me survive the painful war experiences during my early years in Beirut. When artillery shells were drizzling over our heads like the rain drizzles here in Seattle right now, we as kids used to come up with funny games. We used to laugh at the silliest things. We didn't do that on purpose. It just, so having that state of mind and taking care of yourself and try to stay as positive as you can, that's the only way you can share that positivity with other folks. That's how you can sell hope. If we don't have hope for ourselves, it's very hard to sell that hope to someone who needs.
Part of this is enjoying, actually loving what you do day to day, right?
Exactly. Not easy to stay positive. You got negative people all over. There's this gap between our values and what we do. If we do what jives with our values, then we're happy. But if what we're doing every day is not exactly what we enjoy, that's going to drive us more and more away. And it's so important. It's so important to do what you love to do. That's my advice. That's the advice I give to my kids. Right now, they're teenagers, and I tell them, you know, for the future, do what you love to do. Because, you know, like George Burns said, you know, I would rather fail at something I love than succeed at something I hate. That's exactly what I tell them. I tell them to enjoy the journey. Now, if it happens that what you're doing for a living that you love, you enjoy, and also gives you that financial stability, that's great. But it's better than you love rather than have a title that you make tons of money and you deep inside, you go home when you put your head on the pillow where you don't have to impress anyone else. And not feeling good about yourself. That is not success to me. So enjoying the journey is really important to me.
Ali, I love talking with you, and I'm learning, and I'm sure the audience is too, but we are running out of time. We have like 3 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you to reveal some things about yourself personally and about your kids, your relationship with your kids, especially looking back when they were, well, now they're teenagers, but at a younger age, when they were in very formative years, tell me a couple of things that you remember to this day that you still live with and act as a lesson that you can relate to others.
Sure, sure. I have so many examples. Two of the many lessons that I learned from my two children. First one was from my daughter, Mia, when she was a little girl. One evening, she was playing with her toys when I walked into our home after a long day of work. As soon as she saw me, she stood up with a big smile, ran to work. In front of her was a number of small toys that apparently she was unaware of. Sure enough, I saw her stepping on them, stumbling, and falling on her face. What did she do? She just stood up, threw the same smile back on her face, and charged towards me as if nothing happened. Kids do that at a younger age. I don't know why we, you know, adults, we don't do that. We are the only creatures who lived in negative experiences over and over in our minds, and we hope that the results would be different. So that was the first lesson that stuck in my mind, and I remember that. When something bad happened to me, I remember that event. The second lesson I learned was from my son, Anthony. So Anthony used to count things, cars I pass on the freeway, the steps when he walks up the stairs, how long it takes for him to go from the kitchen to the garage and back. He even used to count how many big waves hit the side of the pier when you're at the beach. A few years went by, and I noticed him losing the counting urge. One summer, we were at the beach here in Mapocho in Washington. I saw him picking up rocks and throwing them into the water. The waves were breaking at the beach one after the other, and I wondered, how come he was not counting the big waves like he used to? So I asked him. He answered, why count the waves when you can enjoy the ocean, Daddy? Isn't that amazing coming from a little kid?
Yeah, that's great. Ali, to sum up, you sound like a very spiritual guy. I know you're a believer, so tell us how to maintain a positive attitude through belief. I want to hear it.
Absolutely. To me, spirituality is everything. To me, spirituality is like meaning to language, the same as religion spirituality. To me, it's really realizing that there's a power that is greater than we are that we reach for. And achieving a balance in life really requires an understanding that we will never be 100% balanced. I mean, a lot of times we talk about life-work balance, right? And people talk about, okay, this is, I want to make sure that my life, you know, work and life and health and all of that are balanced. And we forget about something very important. It's not balancing the weight that really brings us satisfaction. It's really recognizing how much weight we have on ourselves. So sometimes balancing a weight is really breaks the body in half. It really affects us. So it's really important. It's not the balancing, but realizing when I have much more load on my back than I can carry and be able to see, okay, what can I do? And so in life, what I do is I look at five areas in my life and I try to keep them in front of me. Health, my family and friends, work, financial health, and spirituality. So I put them in this order in purpose because the first I put down health, because if health is gone, family will be impacted, work will be impacted, my checking account will start leaking, and at the end, our spirituality that will come to play and how we believe about the world, the universe, that's what's really going to get us out of that hole. So those are the five areas. I have goals in each of these areas that I keep in front of me, and I do my best to do everything I can to address each of these. But right now I know the 100% balance and everything is just not going to happen. And the best way to feel balanced is recognizing that that's impossible to have all the time. So that's what I believe in.
Thank you, Ali Shami, for being my special guest today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com. It's been an honor for me to have you as a guest, and I look forward to you coming to our San Francisco event and speaking in January as our closing keynoter. This is Ed Cohen signing off now from Seattle as well as downtown San Diego, GlobalRadioTalkShow.com.
I think to myself, what a wonderful